Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude, where we all know politics is downstream of culture, and I am here to break it down. Got a good show for you tonight. But first, as a Latino conservative with both black and white in the family, I didn't wander into politics. I was kind of pulled in. Back in the 1990s, I saw the powers that be begin using identity politics. And why? Well, to fracture cultures across class lines. Specifically, I saw it from the Democrats, and I was in the room when they were preaching it to me. We weren't and we aren't communities. We are pawns. And again, I watched it happen in real time. It was in college, 1987, to be truthful. I've spent years breaking down the news when I started my fantasy sports company, and then when I got into politics, and now that I'm podcasting and writing and analyzing politics. I've done that headline by headline. Today, I want to take a bit of a different tack. We're going upstream. Who's engineering this division, and how do we stop it? It's not going to be front and center, but I'm going to interweave it into the news story of the day. But in a way, that's why, well, actually, to be honest, that's why I started Grumblings Media. But I'll admit, I got lost early. I wasn't attacking, I was reacting, and then attacking by pushing back against the people tearing us apart. But I rarely explained the deeper why. And being anal, making sure you heard everything, I will try to cover all the news without giving the reasons as to why it was happening. Well, that changes now. And we're going to start with the big story this week. The big story this week is Sydney Sweeney and the faux panic over white supremacy, Nazi aesthetics, and the absurd claim that blonde hair and blue eyes are inherently racist. Believe it or not, I have blue eyes, and I have relatives who are blonde and blue-eyed. I've got relatives who are black. I've got relatives with that traditional, beautiful caramel color. Then we're going to hit with my closing segment, what I call the Rude Rundown. And that's a lightning round of news that caught my eye. We're going to talk a little bit about Jay Leno. Keeps it simple and true. Arnold Schwarzenegger's career. It might finally be over. And will we ever get unbiased news again? Maybe a reformed CBS will lead the way. And did you know tourism's down in Vegas? It's not a shocker to us who have been going to Vegas. I remember the 90s and Vegas. $3 all you can eat. Chicken and eggs or steak and lobster. You know, a room, $49.99, you know. Those are days of yesterday. But before we dig in, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube. I had to look. YouTube. Follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. So let's get right on into it. Sydney Sweeney jeans, or rather the Sydney Sweeney jeans ad, fuels cultural clash. All right. So American Eagle has an ad that features Sweeney and his sparking controversy. It's sparking accusations of eugenics and racial dog whistles, which is not true. Critics claim the ad reinforces rigid beauty norms and white-coated cultural messaging, which is a complete lie. But that said, from a marketing perspective, I can see where racists and bigots would believe that, even though it's not there. You can see anything you want in literally anything in the world. If I want to see two Latinos, instead of seeing two brethren walking across the street, I'm like, what are those hoodlums up to? You know, if I see a white bald guy who's just bald, oh, there's a Nazi there. If I see a black kid with a low-hanging pants, oh, there goes somebody's going to rob somebody. You know, you can make every negative stereotype that you want out of anything in the world. Let's take it away from race. Damn, you see the size of that woman? Look at her buying the candy bar. You know, you can say or do anything you can turn into a negative. And that's what's happening here. Then there's also her rumored Republican leanings intensified the backlash. They're going after her. Democrats are facing declining approval and electoral losses. And that's heightening the sensitivity to cultural flashpoints. In other words, they're doubling down and it's not looking good. So despite this controversy, American Eagle stock has surged, showing there is growing fatigue with overreach. You know, some people are calling that black fatigue, minority fatigue, you know, Democrat fatigue, progressive fatigue, whatever it is. We're tired of the nonsense. We're tired of the hate. And it's not just me. It's literally every color and demographic, whether you're black, brown, red, yellow, or green, I guess. If you're thinking Roswell, 1947. So the early signal of consumer pushback against elite moralizing and politicized ad criticism is well underway. So woke is dying. Let's talk a little bit about the outrage machine and how it's sputtering. And even denim ads are triggering its final spasms. In other words, something that shouldn't be part of the culture wars has quickly become part of the culture wars. So the backlash against the bizarre claims that Sydney Sweeney's jean commercial represents Nazism, racism, or white supremacy, well, that shows how absurd the narrative gatekeeping has become. The usual tactics such as outrage labeling, guilt by implication, they're just not landing. Audiences are calling it out for what it is, intellectual fraud. What used to fuel online firestorms, that's now met with eye rolls, people, and disengagement. And that shift does matter. Why? Because the faux racism industry wants to remain strong. It wants to be legitimate. The faux racism industry is not just bad faith, it's big business, my friends. Americans across the spectrum are now finally rebelling against it. And I call it a grift because it's a multi-billion dollar industry. The DEI industrial complex has minted power from grievance. They've elevated, really in a lot of ways, racist and bigoted individuals across the culture and color spectrum, from Ibram X, Kendi, Nicole Hannah-Jones, Robin DiAngelo, and Tim Wise, and too many others of lists. And they've raised them up into influencer status, not because of any skill or anything they bring to the table, but by ideology. That's it. That's it. Let me include the political figures, Stacey Abrams, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders reinforce this narrative. Elizabeth Warren, she's a 2-for-1-0 there, white and Native American. Well, you know, I can't discriminate. Those high cheekbones made her believe she was Native American. Regardless, though, both groups draw power from a framework that rewards accusation over action and truth, meaning results. So, for example, when I tell somebody, when I look at a resume, I don't care what they say they've done. I'm like, what did it result? What was the result? These race hustlers, they just accuse. And because they accuse, they're like, I'm defending you. Well, what are you actually defending? What actually did happen? Let's break it down. They never want to do that. Because if you go, let's talk about it, oh, you're a racist too. Or let's talk about race. And I'm talking about from whatever angle you want to talk about it, Native American, Asian, Black, Latino. What has happened over the last 10 years is we're going to talk about race, and I'm going to tell you what racism is, and if you disagree, you are a racist. And that's where all this backlash is coming from. People are being tired of being told they are something they know they're not. And that's not just white people. Everyday Black and other minority families like Latinos, I haven't suffered. I'll be the first to admit that, but I have relatives who claim they haven't. I'm like, what you talking about? We grew up together. Come on now. But everyday Black and other minority families like Latinos who are living the American dream, they're forced to navigate all this fallout. They're undermined by activists who speak for them without consent. When I hear Ana Navarro, Señorita Regenita, more like Pitón, speak, she acts as if she's speaking for all Latinos. And that burns me up. Like, you don't speak for me, woman. So non-Black, brown, yellow, red, whatever you want to call it, Americans in general are fed up. And they're rejecting performative guilt and obviously endless accusations. If systemic racism is as omnipresent as claimed, why are there so many race hoaxes? I say this in other podcasts, but Wilfred Riley's Hate Crime Hoax, great book, read it, it's in my library. He has another one, Why Liberals Lie, or something like that. And a side note, talks about like the Native Americans, how we have viewed them as these one with Mother Nature, with the Earth. And he breaks it down. This is who they really were, not good or bad, factually. But his book, Hate Crime Hoax, it documents 409 alleged false or dubious hate crime allegations. False. They were concentrated over a five-year period. What year was that? What year is that? I want to say from 2015. Yeah, from 2015 to 2019, with most exposed as fabricated. At worst, they were just all fabricated. I was going to try to put some kind of analogy. Maybe a few were questionable, meaning they couldn't prove it, but it was fake. So if Riley tracked 400 hoaxes before 2019, how big do you think that number is today after COVID, George Floyd, the DEI explosion, and a media ecosystem that's starving for outrage? It's probably 500, 600 at the minimum that they can go out and document, not counting what they can't. And that's all that he could document in that five-year period. He himself, I believe, may have said, I don't know how many more, but there's more out there. That's just what I found. And still, the media treats every new accusation like gospel, as if it's true. And then another dirty little secret that they do is they make everything a white attacker in the documents, and they're brown or black. There's not, you know, a guy was arrested, you know, race, white. You're looking at the guy. Ooh, it's kind of like what CNN did last week with the attacker in New York. You could look at him and clearly tell he wasn't white. And we suspect he could be a white man. It's not about putting blame on any person here or there, because we're all accepted as Americans. They're trying to separate us and create these barriers of hate between us. That's why. I guess that's a good segue into why it's happening. This isn't chaos, people. It's strategy. The culture war is a camouflage for class protectionism. So what do I mean by that? Those in power benefit from division, always have, since the dawn of the time. And they're fueling black versus white, black versus brown, brown versus white. And there's one group that's always singled out as being the enemy, white. Culture versus culture. So let me repeat that. They benefit from division. They benefit from black versus white, black versus brown, brown versus white, brown versus black. Everybody versus the yellow man, because he's the other white meat, pork, because they break the mold in minority statistical numbers. They're arguably, or they're not arguably, they are the most successful culture here in America right now, and that's Asians. And they create all this conflict to keep Americans distracted and docile. The real game is consolidation of wealth and influence through government channels, corporate capture, and elite networks. This isn't a culture war, people. It's a class war. The goal is to protect elite status, shrink access to the club, and keep dissent fragmented. We're fighting our battles here and here and here and here and everywhere. Because what happens is if all these people connected and they're still fighting the battles, that battle is going to bleed over into the politicians pushing it. And we've started to see that. And that's good. Black are questioning, what have y'all done for us, Democrats? They're on the verge of completely rejecting Obama, because when you look back at history, Obama did nothing for anybody. Boy, but he made a lot of promises. And with Trump, every success they look at Trump, they nitpick it. You know, so for example, the unemployment numbers came out. American natives, meaning American citizens, their job rate went up. Non-American, mostly immigrants, illegals, most of them, more likely most of them, they went down, and that created a unemployment is up. The job numbers weren't as large, and I'm okay with that. I wish they were higher, but I'm okay with it, not because I don't want illegals here. I do, actually. I don't want illegals here, but it's not because I don't want immigrants here. I welcome all legal immigrants, but I want to see you, the American citizen, taken care of first and foremost. Once you're taken care of, that's where the H-1B visas come in. Well, we don't have jobs for, we don't have enough Americans to do these rare type jobs, and that's where the H-1B comes in. So it's not a culture war, it's a class war. Politicians and cultural figures are well-paid pawns as well. They're in on the game. They love it. They know what their job is. But they are there, the Schumers, the Pelosis, the McConnells. They're there to shield the old money and billionaire elite class. And at the same time, they get to enjoy the perks of that power. And look at Nancy Pelosi. She went from being a working class woman to being worth, what, 100 and some odd million now? How do you do that? Doing government service. So as long as the public, the constituent, the average Joe, a.k.a. the working class, and the underserved class, i.e. the poor class, as long as we're fighting each other, we're not holding the real power brokers accountable. So what can we do to stop it? Well, the chaos isn't permanent. Reversing it starts with rebuilding what we've allowed to break. And reform begins with retaking education, restoring critical thinking, teaching kids to challenge dogma, and bringing back American and, yes, Christian values. Because those values, American and Christian values, are rooted in respect, honor, and shared purpose. It burns me up when these people who have no, don't care about religion. I'm like, go, I can't say the word, but go bleep yourself. You freaking overeducated loser elitist who have done nothing with your life. And you're not even rich. But you have this elitist mindset. You think you're smarter than everybody. That's the worst of the lot. And I saw those people every day growing up. Some of them were good people, just didn't realize they looked down on others. But those are the worst of the worst. Because they will crap on somebody who believes in God. And they don't realize. I tell this to my partner. Man, if it wasn't for these Christian values, I would have probably killed somebody by now. Period. End of story. I would have. I don't like you or you mistreat me. I don't see any value in you being around. Boom. Done deal. Those Christian values serve a lot of purpose. And because they've been lost and because many individuals feel the law does not pertain to them, see New York, Boston, L.A., we're seeing chaos. It's a libertarian's dream, anarchy. Even though they'll deny it, that's what anarchy brings. These values do not erase culture. What they do is they prevent chaos and resist weaponized racism. If you respect your fellow man, if you have values that honor your family, your wife, your kids, your neighbors, your coworkers, your job, where you live, it's hard to weaponize something like racism. Now, let's be clear. Homophily is real, people. So what is homophily? Homophily, in layman terms, people group naturally by shared interests, backgrounds, and values. Accepting that is not surrendering to racism. In the military, you go to a birthing, the blacks will be the blacks, the whites were the whites, Latinos, Latinos. Latinos were kind of mixed in all the groups. Asians with Asians, mostly a lot of Filipinos that's on the West Coast, you know. But then y'all worked together. You hung out together. You did things together. But homophily, there's a reason Tiger Woods had a large black following. There's a reason Caitlin Clark has a large white following. There's a reason Bird had a lot of white fans. Magic had a lot of black fans. Well, Serena Williams is a better example in a sport that's mostly dominated by whites. That's homophily. And it's not just racially. It's also culturally. Here in the States, I would root for Roberto Duran as a kid. He was Panamanian, I was Panamanian. So that's real. Again, people group naturally by shared interests, backgrounds, and values. And accepting that is not surrendering to racism. The goal isn't forced sameness, but unity through a shared national identity. pride in your roots, but loyalty to country first. You can be a proud black man, a proud white man. That's right, a proud white man, a proud Latino, a proud Asian, a proud Indian, a proud Native American, a proud Jew, a proud Christian, a proud Catholic, proud whatever. As long as you recognize, hey, we're all Americans first. These people who sit there and say that's bad, they're losers in life. Because that's what destroys a country. Once you lose your patriotism, once you lose that unity, your country will eventually be destroyed. And all these overly smart people think that individuality trumps unity or patriotism. It doesn't. Because human nature will dictate bad people will rise to the surface and take from the weak. And when you are unified, when you are patriotic, when you are a country and you share these values of respect, values of unity, that's much, 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 much harder to break. So pride in your roots, but loyalty to country first. American unity breaks the elitist playbook. Division only works when we forget what binds us and we are Americans first. And whether it's a libertarian or whether it's a Democrat, they're winning. Because right now they care more for the individuality. That's what they preach. And there's no unity. And look at the chaos right now. Look at the economy. And who does this benefit? The elites. The elites. Those in power. My simple point to black and my brethren Latino and to my brethren black and my relatives who are black. What have Democrat policies done for us since the Civil Rights Act? It wasn't the Democrat Party who pushed and championed civil rights. They fought it. But they had the greatest marketer around who was able to turn the tables and make it act seem like without the Democrat Party, blacks would still be enslaved when it's the exact opposite. All right. So how does this relate to Sydney Sweeney? Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So, Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle Jeans campaign dropped, not Sydney Sweeney, the American Eagle Jeans campaign with Sydney Sweeney being used to push it dropped last week. Sweeney's 27. I think she's not my take. As a man, there's no man I know that would sit there in a sailor-esque way, yeah, I'd throw her out, the house or the room, yeah. There's no man's going to say that. But to each their own. I see, what have you done to yourself? You're a pretty little girl. Now you're a skinny anorexic looking thing. That's what I see with those oversized jeans, you know. But that's my point. We all have different tastes, you know. But she is right now the it girl, just like Jennifer Lawrence was 10 years ago. You know, just like Pam Dobber was in the 70s for a couple of years. Who? Exactly. These women come and go, you know. I'm just being honest. But anyway, she's 27. She's known for Euphoria and The White Lotus. And the tagline is, Sydney Sweeney has great genes. And it's playing on looks and genetics. So there's a first spot, or there's a spot here I'm going to show you with Sweeney Budden's genes while narrating, genes are passed down. My genes are blue. And it's a riff on human genes with blue denim jeans. And then there's a second spot in a plunging denim jumpsuit. She says, my body's composition is determined by my genes. And let me show you what I'm talking about.
Genes are passed down from parents to offspring, often determining traits like hair color, personality, and even eye color. My genes are blue.
Sydney Sweeney has great genes.
Now, let's be honest. That's a great ad. It really is. It's a great ad. I found it like, that's good marketing. That's good marketing. And here's the here's some of the images of her. You know, see, this is what I meant by oversized jeans. It's like, man, those jeans. I come from the era. well, the jeans were up to your navel, but at the time, but were snug jeans or tight jeans, you know. So this just kind of looks odd to me to see her in these uber super duper baggy jeans. It reminds me of the 1970s and the Keep On Truckin' cartoon or image that you see on t-shirts with the guy with the bell bottoms. But anyway, you see that Sydney Sweeney has great jeans. They use a muscle car because denim jeans evoke this masculinity for both men and women. And by women, I mean it's just part of the American culture. This is America. This is who we are. You know, and they're great shots, you know. They're great shots, you know. But this triggered the left. Critics frame the gray jeans line as coded propaganda, promoting whiteness, beauty standards, eugenics, and exclusionary ideals. And some Democrats publicly label the ad as, it's hostile, it's harmful. And they position the ad as culturally harmful, as seen by some as emblematic of the political overreach driving voter backlash. That's how I see it. When you sit there and try to say, this ad is harmful, I'm like, what? That's what I view as overreach. And that's what's driving this voter backlash against the Democrats. And that's also why you're seeing declining numbers in terms of public approval towards Democrat and many progressive ideals or ideology. Cultural commentators such as myself, I compare Sweeney's denim campaign to Beyonce's. And I do argue that criticism towards Sweeney is racially motivated and selectively applied. So what am I referring to? Well, let me show you. It's clear as damn day. Two beautiful women. Oh, and by the way, what color hair does Beyonce have right there, people? She's looking blonde. More blonde than Sweeney. And remember, blonde and blue eyes is Nazi-ist racism. White supremacy. So what do you call Beyonce? Cultural appropriation? Similar poses too. That's a woman thing. And the fantasy that goes along with it. Again, human nature. So online pressure mounts for Sweeney to issue a public apology. So well, this reminds me of Caitlin Clark bending the knee with white privilege. Monica Nittner came out and said the WNBA is lesbian and black and should remain so. And after a year of getting beat down 17 flagrant fouls in her rookie year, the most on any player, after winning the time of the year and being interviewed, she bent the knee and said, yeah, I have white privilege. And that's false because sports is meritocracy. And the reason she's so popular and so good is because she's worked hard to achieve that talent on the court. And in fact, if not all black NBA players are saying, y'all just pissed off because this little white girl running rings around you. And that's what it boiled down to. Similar situation. They want Sweeney to bend the knee and to come out and apologize. Now, American Eagle, their chief marketing officer, Craig Brommers, he framed the campaign as a Gen Z play. Back to school. They're trying to leverage Sweeney's star power to rival Shine, Amazon, and Walmart. In essence, what he's saying is we want big name talent and we're going to pay for that big name talent because the chance of a high return on investment is key. It will create a brand differentiation. So what they're betting on is that when Gen Zers see Sydney Sweeney, they don't just recognize her, they associate her with American Eagle jeans, AE jeans, American Eagle jeans. So she becomes a shortcut to brand recall. Now, quarter one net revenue fell 5% year over year. First quarter. And the shares were right around the $9 to $10 range prior to the campaign. Doesn't mean much to people, but in essence, they were losing about $1 billion a year over year. Their revenue fell 5%. Oh, sorry. I apologize. Their revenue fell 5% to $1.1 billion. That's revenue, not profit. You know, and the loss is probably about 5% year over year. So they're losing 5% every year. So they did a branding pivot. And since the ads released, their shares jumped over 11%. And that suggests that the market is rewarding the risk. And in my notes, I was neutral and put controversy notwithstanding. But to me, this controversy has actually helped it. So why the big jump? Well, there's multiple forces at play here, people. You have broader retail challenges, lingering inflation, travel pullback. Those are some of the biggest contributors to the decline of just average purchasing power. However, American Eagle's long-running aerial body-positive branding alienated segments of consumers. In other words, hey, we're pushing and promoting LGBT over normalcy. We're pushing big women and big men. We're pushing non-attractive people. All that had a part in this. Sydney Sweeney ad launch, 10% stock bump. They added $200 million to their value of the company. And many were praising it as traditional aesthetics. Wokeness wasn't fully responsible for the root cause of A&E struggles, but rejecting it has helped massively, and it's helped them reposition the brand in a very tight market. So what are they doing now? They're attacking Sweeney. They dug out her voter record. Sydney Sweeney's allegedly a registered Republican in Florida. There's no confirmation of Trump support. But her mother had like a make something. It was a tie in to MAGA, but it wasn't to MAGA. It was like the gamer who put make first person shooters great again. It's just a slogan. They're attacking her for it. So to many Americans who are fatigued by progressive identity politics, Sweeney's image, attractive, traditionally feminine, and politically neutral, has become a visual rejection of performative messaging. In other words, just being a pretty blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl who's hot is seen as negative and bigoted by the left. Why? Because of the body imaging of people who aren't pretty, beautiful, and hot. Honestly. Of non-pretty people. Of non-skinny people. I'm trying to be politically correct here. You get my point. Her style clashes with the left-coded aesthetics. Dyed hair. Facial piercing. Politicized fashion. And it's signaling a Gen Z rebellion rooted in simplicity and cultural exhaustions. Like, enough with the wokeness. So this shift is reflecting the growing appeal toward conventional femininity. Give me a hot chick. And a broader desire to escape ideological signaling. It's like my relatives. William, shut up with the politics. That's what Gen Zers are saying. So in essence, the meme, if you're a hot chick, you're a conservative. What that encapsulates is the rising sentiment that beauty and neutrality are now subversive in progressive spaces. Translation. Even though there's no state of politics in the ad, when someone like Sweeney stays silent and looks traditionally feminine, that combination reads as rebellious in progressive circles. You can't do that. Like she's pushing back just by not conforming to them. And it ends up being interpreted as conservative by that vibe alone. So just being herself, a beautiful young girl, promoting jeans, having blonde hair and blue eyes, that's non-progressive. They don't like that. They'd rather see a Latina, a black, an Asian, fat person with a nose ring portraying herself sexually and saying that's beautiful. So they get mad when that image is replaced by one like Sweeney. Young men are trending right, people. That includes Gen Z. Some voices claim young women are quietly following, drawn to traditional cues and repelled by progressive excess. Sweeney's look is increasingly used as a cultural counterpunch to progressive aesthetics. Blonde, apolitical, and a rebuke to activist style tropes. Excuse me. So, let's talk about Brooke Shields. Y'all don't remember this campaign, but most of y'all were not alive at the time. Doesn't it look familiar? Ooh, hold on one second. Let me make it large enough so you can see it.
The secret of life lies hidden in the genetic code. Genes are fundamental in determining the characteristics of an individual and passing on these characteristics to succeeding generations. Occasionally, certain conditions produce a structural change in the gene, which will bring about the process of evolution. This may occur in one or more of the following ways. Firstly, by selective mating, in which a single gene type proves superior in transmitting its genes to future generations. Secondly, by gene drift, in which certain genes may fade away while other genes persist. And finally, by natural selection, which filters out those genes better equipped than others to endure in the environment. This may result in the origin of an entirely new species, which brings us to Calvin's and the survival of the fittest.
Calvin Klein jeans.
I remember that era. All the girls wanted the Calvin Klein jeans. All of them. So her campaign is drawing visual parallels to the 1980s Calvin Klein ad, where Shields, then just 15 years old, delivered the line, quote, "You want to know what comes between me and my Calvins? Nothing," unquote. The controversy really wasn't about jeans, nor jeans as in G-E-N-E-S. It was about her age. She was like 15 doing a sexually explicit ad like that, you know? But no one accused the ad of promoting white supremacy or eugenics. It was an ad. Then there's Frank Frazetta, one of my favorite artists of all time. Frank Frazetta once said, quote, "Everybody knocks my female figures. They say they're overblown, that women don't look like that. I think this is one reason that so many people enjoy my stuff, because all of these extremes are jammed into it." So what Frazetta is saying is simple. We're drawn to physical ideals because we aspire to them. It's human nature to admire stylized exaggeration. It's not deception. It's aspiration. And he did draw beautiful women. For those of you not aware, he's known for lots of Conan covers. Okay, so as of today, as of going and doing this podcast, no response to Sydney Sweeney. Outlets including Variety, Vanity Fair, and Entertainment Weekly confirm she's given no statement. Now, what about American Eagle? Well, they did give their statement. And they said, "We be doubling down. Sydney Sweeney has great genes, is and always was about the genes." For those on Spotify and Apple and others, Sydney Sweeney has great genes, J-E-A-N-S. Is and always was about the genes, J-E-A-N-S. Her genes, her story. We'll continue to celebrate how everyone wears their AE jeans with confidence their way. Great genes look good on everyone. So they're doubling down. Why? Within a week, less than a week, they went up $200 million, and they have every right to. Every right to. All right. So the backlash demands scrutiny of critics' tactics, meaning you are right to push back against this nonsense. Brands have endured fallout from politicized spin that has ignored the market realities and historical precedent. We want people who are pretty, beautiful, because we aspire to be those people. When I see a guy with great arms or great six-pack, I'm like, he's not quite there where I'm at. I'm kidding. But it's like, damn, I wish I had arms or abs like that. Women are no different. We love beautiful people. And it shows literally in every statistical, from hiring, from dating, from acting, from everywhere. It's just human nature. So with stock gains and youth shifts in play, the controversy fuels national debate over expressive freedom, meaning we have the right to be free and express ourselves. You have no right to tell us it's racist and bigoted when it is not. You just don't like it. Now, what is good about this is it's opening the door to deeper examinations of media overreach. And I will be here every week to bring stories like this to the forefront. All right, let's get down to the rundown. Jay Leno criticizes modern late night host for excessive political bias. So for those of you not aware of Jay Leno, he voiced concerns over the political leanings of current late night host during a recent interview at, I think it was at the Reagan Institute. But for you guys that don't know, Jay Leno hosted The Tonight Show from 1992 to 2009. He replaced Johnny Carson. And then he returned in 2010 to 2014. His first tenure averaged about 6 million viewers. He peaked with like 22.5 million for the Cheers finale special. His second tenure started with about close to 7 million for the premiere, averaged about 4 million. And he returned because Conan O'Brien, another leftist, wasn't very funny. I got to be honest, this, excuse me to my white friends, but this white boy humor sometimes, like, dumb, stupid humor. That was Conan O'Brien. I thought late David Letterman was the same too. But anyway, Conan O'Brien had a 7-month run and he had declining ratings where he lost about 2 million viewers year over year from Leno's era. And then he obviously trailed David Letterman in total viewers despite leading in younger demos. He was shedding viewers. And the decline was worsened because Leno did a primetime and that averaged 5 million. So they're like, out with the old, or out with the new, in with the old. And they tried to work it out between both of them, but O'Brien's ego wouldn't let it happen. He got a $45 million buyout. I mean, $45 million for being a loser. That's right. I said it. When I say loser, a loser is a late night host. So he gave an interview on July 27th at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. And he said the host should avoid alienating half their viewers. And that's what they've done. That's what they've done. Don't alienate them. And the reason for this is CBS canceled The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. Cost $100 million. It was losing $40 million a year. 40 to 50 million. So literally at times it was losing half of what it was costing to make. And he's right. Johnny Carson never alienated his viewers. Michael Jordan, they asked Michael Jordan, why aren't you political? He goes, because Republicans buy my shoes. All right. Netflix cancels Arnold Schwarzenegger's FUBAR after 2 seasons amid viewership drop. So Netflix has canceled action comedy series FUBAR, and that marked Arnold Schwarzenegger's television debut. He was a CIA operative alongside his daughter, not in real life, on the show. It was his daughter. And the show's first season premiered in 2023, 11 million views in its opening weekend. And I saw it, and I thought, this is great. Arnold's back, and I'm not an Arnold fan anymore. But the second season only attracted 2.2 million views, and it peaked at number 10. And then that's a top 10 English language series. Before exiting after week 4, it did not have holding power. And they canceled it shortly thereafter. They canceled it shortly thereafter his 78th birthday. Now, the fan feedback deemed the second season dull. And there's even a plagiarism claim that was filed over a supermarket ad plot. And they're demanding 1.5 million. So it's gone from canceled to worse. But the reason viewers stopped watching was due to the second season being unbearably dull. It was a significant quality drop from the first season. It became overly silly and unentertaining. And then it was an extremely long wait between seasons. I fell into that. I saw the first episode, and I barely made it through it. I'm like, God, it's long, boring. And I'm like, so I know everything's fake, but at least put a little bit of reality touch into it. It's like, come on. And that's what happened. People said, enough of this nonsense. I think Arnold's career is over. All right. Skydance CEO David Ellison seeks to reform CBS News away from elitism. So David Ellison's the son of Larry Ellison, the Oracle founder. He is also the CEO of Skydance, who is merging with Paramount, owners of CBS. And he's talking about promoting objective journalism. And he mentions Edward R. Murrow and Walter Cronkite. Their merger is going to be finalized in the next week or two. But he's pledged to the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr, that he's going to appoint an ombudsman and end the DEI initiatives. And obviously, for those of you in the know, Trump got a $16 million settlement over election interference, edited 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris. Now, Ellison's thinking about hiring Barry Weiss and acquiring the Free Press. Now, Barry Weiss is not conservative. She's still a leftist. She's just not leftist enough for the times and today's progressive, but she's still leftist. Yeah. Separately, CBS is the one who canceled Stephen Colbert's show, not Skydance. Now, Trump is supposedly getting $20 million in ads and public service announcements from Paramount. Don't know what that's about yet, but people are saying MAGA propaganda. We've had nothing but propaganda since the turn of the century, heavily leaning, skewing left in every front of Hollywood and the news. So hush, hush. It's what I call faux leftist outrage. You know, there was no outrage when Fox News fired Tucker Carlson in April 2023. And unlike Colbert, Tucker's show was a rating smash. And that cancellation was politically motivated. Look, at the end of the day, Skydance is prioritizing profitability over placating mobs of leftist bigots who push leftist propaganda. We've had nothing but extreme left bias in legacy media. And that's done nothing but accelerate the network loss of viewers to streaming and other alternatives. So in other words, all this leftism, including news and late night shows with Colbert and their news divisions, people are just leaving faster than they would have. All right, let's close it out with Las Vegas tourism faces steep decline. It's probably a story that probably went under the radar, but Vegas, once the hub of let's go travel. It's what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Remember the wild times, the hangover. You know, Las Vegas is enduring the market tourism slump. Resort promotions just aren't overcoming the cost to go to Vegas. Now, the left is using this to claim restrictive U.S. policies deterring visitors as one big reason. It's not true. Visitor declines started pre-COVID. You know, you have higher resort costs. $20 drinks. $15. They have everything from parking costs are jacked up. Food costs like $100 per person. That's what it averages out. Then you get like $100 in taxes and fees that you get tacked on. Hey, it's only $99 a night. You're going to pay $200 a night after the taxes and fees they don't tell you about. That's why hotel rates are dropped to 67% in July. The left claims Canadian tourists have taken a big chunk. It's like less than 4%. It's like 3.6%. Oh, here's some of the prices. So one reason Vegas is dying a slow death right now, $50 daily resort fees, plus $13 taxes, inflating $100 room to $200, $40 for parking, then the food, $15 beers, $25 cocktails, $50 plus per person for meals. I was wrong, not $100 per person. $50 per person. $26 for bottled water and $100 buffets. Then the silliness escalates. Charges for microwaves, refrigerators, coffee makers, and early check-in and pull chairs. Then you have the gutted staff. Creates long waits. You order food, takes forever to come up. You order extra towel, takes forever to come up. Reduced service. And so what's happened is created a perception that the destination lacks value. It's like, man, we're paying all this. This is all we're getting. In the latest lie, President Trump's 2025 policies, including a $250 visa integrity fee, tariffs, intensified immigration enforcement, and public insults toward foreign leaders, that has repelled Canadians and Mexicans. No, it's a cost that I just mentioned that are driving those consumers. And those consumers don't generate as much spendable dollars as we do. Now, the big thing people will tell you, oh, it's online gambling. Online gambling has expanded. Nah, it's not actually cannibalizing Vegas revenues like you would think. So Vegas, I think, is dying a slow death. And there you have it, folks. That is this week's Red, White, and Rouge. I'm not just reacting anymore. I'm exposing the forces turning identity politics within our culture into ammunition. Sydney Sweeney's just the latest scapegoat in a culture war designed to divide, not enlighten, my friends. Grundy's Media and the Red, White, and Rude, we're here to cut through the noise and explain the why. The why that they hope you'll ignore. Before I go, don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, eSpotify under the handle Grumblings Media. Also, do not forget to like and share this podcast specifically. So stay sharp, stay loud, share wisely, and for the love of liberty, keep that head on a swivel so they don't cancel your common sense. Until next week, I'm William Del Pilar, your conservative Latino, bringing every blunt truth and spicy jab on the red, white, and rude, where clarity still beats conformity.